Love Foco is the name of the series. And I realize not everybody here who calls this church home from Foco. So just go ahead and place your city in that spot, whatever you like to do. Love Foco just seems to roll off the tongue a little bit, and our church is centered here in Fort Collins. But it can be Love Loveland or Love Wellington or Love Windsor or whatever it is for you. But over the course of the next 4 weeks, we are going to begin to explore God's heart and God's invitation to us to love our city. I think oftentimes in our own Christian faith, in our own journey, as we navigate the scriptures, we are drawn to the stories of people, right? We're drawn to the storylines of different individuals. And obviously that makes a lot of sense for us, right? It's easier to resonate with a human than it is a place. But have you ever considered God's heart for a city? Have you ever considered the theology of a place? Have you ever considered that maybe God has plans and God has a future and God has a purpose for different cities as well, ways to prosper them and allow them to ultimately influence the area and the world around them? Have you ever imagined what God's heart holds for your city? Like I said, I think it's easy in our Christian faith to ask very personal questions, questions that focus our efforts and our energy on our own journey. How am I growing? How am I becoming more like Christ? How am I displaying the love of Jesus? How is my family growing in connection with God? And all of those are incredibly valid and super important questions to ask. But I think we also need to be willing to ask bigger questions, questions that go beyond our family, beyond our own hearts to our city. Questions that impact entire geographic regions. Like what if God had a plan that would start here and ripple around all throughout Northern Colorado, and in our globalized society now ultimately ripple around the entire world? What if God wanted to expand our hearts and our vision for something beyond ourselves, but to say, love your neighbors? Love the leaders in your city, to love the inner workings of your city and municipality, to love the leadership and how they're charting the course for our city. What would it look like if a local church started to love their city in those types of ways? What if God wanted and called you to Fort Collins or called you to Northern Colorado for a reason? What if he brought you here for a specific reason? And maybe we should actually step back, maybe just take one step back and ask the question, does God even care about cities? Does God even care about my city? If you've never asked that question before, I think before we jump into this series, that's a pretty valid question to ask. Does God care about cities? Does Jesus love Fort Collins? Or did Matt and Corey just make a really cool logo that we're gonna pass out next week so you can put them all over your things? Right? Is the series art just that? Or does God only love Fort Collins because of the people? And of course, God loves Fort Collins because of the people, right? As you navigate scripture, you learn pretty quickly that people are more important to God than programs. But that doesn't mean that programs aren't important to God. That doesn't mean that institutions aren't important to God. It doesn't mean that education and leadership and development and creativity and innovation, it doesn't mean that those things are unimportant to God. I would say as theologically, as you begin to explore God's heart for a city, you realize pretty quickly that the answer to this question, does God care about cities, is an astounding and emphatic yes. Yes, he does care about cities. God has plans for Fort Collins. And part of our invitation as a church, part of our invitation as individuals, is to listen to those plans that God has for our city, to begin to ask questions about how he wants to play out his kingdom in our city, and then actually to put feet to those ideas, to put action behind some of those thoughts that we feel like God has for our city. And the Bible has tons to say about God's heart for cities. If you've read this book, you can realize pretty quickly that it starts in a garden. The story of God starts in a garden, but it ends in a city. It really does. Genesis 1, God's interacting with mankind in a garden. But if you flip to Revelation 21 and 22, you realize that although it started in a garden, it ends in a city. With Jesus ushering in this beautiful and heavenly city where all sin is eradicated, where all pain is eradicated, and we're dwelling in this beautiful city of God together. The story arc, the meta narrative of the story arc of God starts in a garden and ends in a city. And then when you begin to realize that, I feel like we can catch a glimpse of God's heart for cities, and we'll grow our own hearts for the city that we're in. I can tell you that over the course of the last couple of years, my heart has been growing and growing and growing for Fort Collins. In all reality, it actually started before I even moved here. It started in a dream, right? And if you haven't heard this story, it's kind of a crazy story about how God called my family here. But we were in Kansas City pastoring as part of a team at a vineyard church in Kansas City. But my wife and I, we had felt like we had heard from God that we were going to leave Kansas City, but that was all that we had heard. And so, you know, sometimes God gives you those directions, but doesn't fill in all the details. And so we were praying, well, God, if you don't want us to be here in Kansas City, where do you want us to go? For 2 months, we prayed that with no answer. And about after 2 months, I had just a really simple dream, but it was super profound. I walked up to my lead pastor at the time, pastor that I was serving in Kansas City, the man who brought me into the vineyard and taught me how to pastor. I'm very thankful for that man. And I walked up to him and I said, I'm sorry, but I have to resign. I'm moving to Fort Collins to work for Rick Olmsted. And then I woke up. That was it. That was the dream. I woke up and I knew God had spoken to me. And over the course of a couple of days and over the course of a couple of weeks, it became more clear to me that God was speaking to me literally, not just symbolically. But I finally got Rick's number and I gave him a call and I told him about this dream. And he said, that's crazy because I've been praying that God would call someone to Fort Collins because I'm getting ready to resign. So maybe that dream is an answer to both of our prayers. All of a sudden you start to see, well, God's doing something here. And I love that story. It gives me a lot of confidence that God does have me here for a purpose, for a reason. But I highlight it this morning because there's two parts. And over the course of the transition between Rick and I, we focus mostly on the call to come and serve him and serve this church as lead pastor. And of course, that's a huge part of that dream. But the first part of it was that I was called to Fort Collins. You're called to Fort Collins to work for Rick Olmsted. There's two pieces to this dream. And I just want to say that this morning, I ultimately feel called to be the lead pastor of this church, but I also feel called to pastor this city and to be a missionary in this city. And I think as Christians, it's all of our calls to love God and to love each other, but also to serve the city that God has planted us in. No matter what city you find yourself in, God is asking you to serve there and love the people that you're around. And this was the beginning, just almost 2.5 years ago now, of my heart beginning to grow for this city. Since then, there's been all kinds of little stories along the way that have been growing my heart for this city. I'm sure many of you have many stories of your own where God has grown your heart for this. If you'll allow me to just share one more, one of many, but my wife and I, we were going to Old Town. It was probably about a year ago now, but you know how parking is in Old Town. We couldn't park actually in Old Town. We had to park outside of Old Town and then walk in. And we got stopped at the intersection, right between the Rescue Mission and the Union. You guys know where I'm talking about? So we were parked and we had to walk through there. We got stopped there by a red light. So we pushed the button and we just kind of waited for us to get to walk. So we had our three little kiddos with us. So we weren't going to try to jaywalk or anything like that in front of them. But we were waiting there. And while we were waiting there, I look off to my right and there's a couple guys from the Rescue Mission just hanging out on the street, smoking cigarettes and talking. And one of them had a Pella Windows t-shirt on. That might not mean anything to you, but Pella Windows, it's a corporation where they make Pella Windows. Pella doors and windows. And it's from a small town in Iowa called Pella, Iowa, right? And actually what's unique about that for me personally is that's the exact city where I met Natalie, my wife, right? And so I was kind of drawn to this t-shirt. I was kind of drawn to this guy. Not only did I meet my wife in Pella, Iowa, but when I was between ministry jobs, Pella Corporation hired me. And I had a great corporate experience with Pella Corp. I was working with them and they served me and they served my, turns out you make a little bit more money in corporate America than you do pastoring, right? But I loved working for Pella Corporation. And so again, just like, how does this happen? How do I go from Pella, Iowa to Kansas City to Fort Collins? And then I see this guy with a Pella Windows t-shirt on. So I just struck up a conversation with him. I said, Pella Windows. Like, I recognize the shirt. What's that? Like, how do you know Pella, or what's that mean to you? Turns out this guy used to live in Pella himself. And he used to work for Pella Windows as well. And our lives, although they took kind of a meandering different way, we both ended up landing in Fort Collins at the same time. And through conversation, I learned that he actually used to work for Pella, building the windows and doors that I then went and sold, which was good for both of us, because I can't build anything, but as you know, I can talk about everything, right? So this was just a beautiful little exchange, and it's moments like that where like, man, how do we end up on different, how do we start in different places and end up in the same spot here? Right, your heart starts to grow when you see things like that. But there's a sad side to this story too. And the sad part of that story is while I was talking, I think we missed like our first walk sign. We were just talking with this guy and it cycled back around. And while we were waiting for the second walk sign to come around, somebody else, just some average Joe from the city, walked up and waited at the red light with us. And while I was talking with this guy, he kind of leaned into Natalie and kind of whispered into her ear, Don't you just hate it when they talk to you? Like, don't you just hate it when the guys from the mission talk to you? And I can tell you, two emotions flooded my heart in that moment. One, just incredible pain that we can't see every human with the value and dignity that God sees them with. And two, I really want to punch this guy. Like, really want to, like, for clarification's sake, your pastor did not punch that guy. But that was the internal workings of my heart. I was so frustrated with this guy. He had no idea. I don't care if you live at the rescue mission or you live at a mansion. God sees every single person in our city with the same value. God sees every single person living in the city as a part of our community. And it's the same community that we as a church are called to love and serve. The same exact community. We started this conversation. I can't believe that he said that. Don't you hate it when they talk to you? Natalie and I said, that's not who we are as a family. Right? And then in broader picture, that's not who we are as a church. That's not who we are as a church. We're called to love our city. And that means loving every single person in our city. We're called to serve it. We're called to join God in the transformation of our city. One person and one act of love at a time. So it's these types of stories that have shaped my heart and grown my heart for this city. And like I said, I know many of you have your own stories as well. It's these types of stories that inspired, I think, this series and us wanting to kick 2020 off with a series dedicated and focused on loving Fort Collins. And I will just unapologetically tell you on the front end that this series is going to be almost 100% focused on missions and outreach. Almost 100% focused on missions and outreach. And just as I look at the Christian life and I explore the life of Christ and as I begin to explore scriptures, I think I realized pretty quickly that the Christian life, it's really kind of shown in these two kind of pillars or mountains of our faith, if I could say. One is about this mountain of intimacy with God, this depth of love where you're experiencing God's love and you're offering it back to him. And absolutely that is an important part of our relationship with Christ. In fact, the next series is going to be largely focused on that personal, intimate walk with Christ. But this series is largely focused on this other mountain, this other pillar of our faith, which is the mission side of it. And man, as you encounter God's love, you are compelled to go and share it with others. As you experience his transformative power, you are compelled to go out into your city, out to your neighbors, out to the people around you, and share the love of Christ that you've experienced. And that's what this series is largely focused on. It's not either or, it's really both and. That's where our Christian lives are supposed to be full of both of those things. But this series in particular, it's definitely weighted on the missions and the outreach side of it. So we're gonna talk about that for the next 4 weeks. I'm really excited about the different weeks that we're gonna share together. We've got a few guest speakers coming in. Later on in this series, actually, Mayor Wade Troxell and City Manager Darren Atterbury are going to come up and share the stage with me. We're going to talk about their heart and their vision for our city and how we can get behind how they see the city and the initiatives that they want to accomplish. Really excited for that. And ultimately, we're hoping that this bleeds into our entire year, really bleeds into, well, it doesn't bleed into our, this is already who we are as a church. We're just trumpeting the cause again. Well, if we transition into today's message, then today's title is simply Love Your City. Love Your City. You can turn to Jeremiah 29. I'm going to be reading verses 4-7 this morning. And I will say, the Bible nerd in me a little bit wants to say, I think Jeremiah 29 is probably the most often read chapter in the Bible, specifically Jeremiah 29:11. Did you know Jeremiah 29:11 was actually not a Bible verse written to high school and college graduates? I had to study that to figure that out. Actually, whenever people pray Jeremiah 29:11 over me, the Bible nerd in me goes off just a little bit and I'm like, yes, God, I know you have plans for me. Please don't send me into exile. Because Jeremiah 29:11, or Jeremiah 29 specifically, is actually a chapter that God writes to his people after their city is destroyed and they're taken into exile into this city called Babylon. That was very far from God. Culture was very far from God. Very humanistic, very centered on your own heart, whatever you want, very far from the Jewish ideology, from the Jewish faith. Right? And so whenever Jeremiah 29:11 is prayed, I'm like, yes, God, thank you that you have plans for me. And please, I love Fort Collins. Remember, you called me here. But I think what's interesting about this text, as we apply it to our own lives, is that I think God might be saying something to us this morning. I really do. I really believe that God might be saying something to you this morning. And surely I'm not the only one who wakes up every now and then and says, man, it is becoming more and more hard to be a person of faith in our culture. It's getting more and more hard as our culture drifts away from Christian morals and Christian worldview. It is becoming more and more hard to stand fast and to raise children in this culture. And I think this scripture, although it was talking about people landing in a foreign land as exiles, I think it applies directly to us this morning as well. I'm going to start reading in verse 4. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children. Then find spouses for them so that you may have many grandchildren. Multiply. Do not dwindle away. And work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it. For its welfare will determine your welfare. In the midst of exile, God says to his people, you're going to be there for a while. You're going to stay for a while. Build houses. Plant gardens. Have children. Build your family. Pray for your city and help it prosper. And that this, there's no way this made sense to the Jewish people. God, you want us to pray for Babylon, the city that destroyed Jerusalem? You want us to pray for its well-being and its welfare? Our welfare is connected to this evil city's welfare? There's no way it made sense to the Jewish people. Yet God called them to serve that city and to love that city and to pray for that city. Not to mention to multiply. To multiply. Now, some of you come across that verse and you're like, look, Jeff, I'm done multiplying. Okay? My wife and I are done multiplying. 1, 2, 3, period. Okay? But this is a reality. Like, in other words, God's saying, build your family here. Establish roots. Don't be afraid to raise children in a culture that maybe doesn't perfectly line up with the Christian faith. Because God will take care of you. God will protect you. He has plans, as we read later on, plans to prosper you. The text, I think, really helps us see how our personal walk with God intersects with the call in our lives to serve this city. I think God is basically telling us this morning that you find yourselves in Fort Collins. Make yourself at home. Make yourself at home. It doesn't matter if the city perfectly lines up with your view of what a city should look like or not. Make yourself at home. Build your life here. Don't do the bare minimum just thinking and expecting God to uproot you and plant you somewhere else 6, 12, 18 months from now. Build your life here. Dig down deep and establish your life in the city. Multiply. If you're done multiplying, be a spiritual mother or be a spiritual father to those around you, because Larimer County has tons of kids looking for love and adults in their life. And pray for this city, because its welfare will determine your welfare. And if we look at that, I think that we need to honestly wrestle with the fact that that's a little bit of a different idea than what most of us think most of the time. There's a growing sentiment, I think, in American culture that cities exist for us, that city programs exist for us, that the betterment of the city exists for us. Right, but scripturally, it's actually flipping that upside down. It says, actually, you're created for the city. You're created to serve and to love and to help that city along. Another way that we kind of have conversations, at least in the church world, is, well, if our church could be better, then the city could be better. If our church would grow, then the city would improve. Right, and of course, some of those ideas, they're not like all to completely off base, right? I do believe that if a local church grows, if people fall in love with Christ and fall in love with their city, and they serve their city like Christ would serve their city, then naturally the city would be a better place. But the scripture actually kind of flips it all the way upside down and says, the city's not here primarily for you. The city's not here primarily for your church. Instead, your church is here for the city. You are here for the city. Our theology says that the city is not here for us, but that we are here to lay our life down for others. And in doing that, the gospel is advanced. In doing that, the kingdom grows. In doing that, people experience the love of Christ. What would happen if we served our city like Christ is calling us to serve our city? What could happen if you loved your neighbors the way Jesus loves your neighbors? What might happen if you loved the leaders of our city the way that Jesus loves our leaders? Or loved the education system and loved the businesses and loved the nonprofits serving our area the way that Jesus loves those things? I mean, how many people might hear the gospel? How many people might have relationships that are reconciled together? How many people might experience the love of God in a new and a profound way, a way that would change the trajectory of not only their life, but their entire family's lives? What could happen? This morning, I have a simple call to our church from this text. A simple call that I think each and every one of us can wrestle with and lean into, a call to prayer and a call to action. A call to prayer and a call to action. I wanna call our church to both prayer and action in 2020. Week one of 52 weeks over the course of this year, and I wanna invite you personally to wrestle with that. How can I pray for this city? How can I live a life of action, serving and partnering with God to transform this city? God, what do you have for me? What do you have for us collectively? How can we lean into prayer and action this year? If you look at verse 7, this is the first point, the prayer piece, the prayer side of this. Pray to the Lord for it, it says. For its welfare will determine your welfare. This is a very natural next step for each and every one of us. We can pray for our city on the regular. Not one and done, not this Sunday and then forget about it for 250 some other days, but pray, commit to praying for our city. And if you wanna do that on our digital program, if you just click on the next steps, there's one specifically addressing this, saying that I will commit to praying for this city. If you click on that box, I'll be let known about that. I'll reach out to you periodically and just give you some ideas, give you some ways that you can pray for this city. But I think this is a call for all of us. I think this is a call for me and our staff and our church at large to pray for this city, to pray that the leaders would encounter the love of Christ, that they would be transformed by the kingdom of God, to pray for the well-being and the betterment of our city, because in its welfare, we would find our own welfare. And it's really strange, right? I don't like this always about scripture, but it also tells you to pray for people that aren't like you and don't think like you and don't act or look or vote like you. You're supposed to pray for them all. Did you know that? It says to pray for your enemies even. What might happen if we actually took that and we didn't make it complicated. We just believed what it said and we just started doing it. I have found in my life that when I start praying for things, my heart grows for them. And so if you're having a hard time loving your enemies, if you're having a hard time loving your city, if you're having a hard time knowing what, just pray. Just pray and let God grow your heart. I think this is an invitation for us to take seriously together this year. It's part of our call. as Christians to pray for our city. And you know what? If we don't do it, who's going to? This is something that the local church can do uniquely. We can pray for our city. There are other gatherings. You know, the country club, they don't gather on Sunday morning to pray for Fort Collins. Did you know that? This is kind of our gig. We uniquely can do this. We uniquely can gather together and commit to praying for the betterment and the welfare of our city, because as it grows, we grow. As the city is blessed, Scripture says, we are blessed. So join me and join our staff and join our church in praying for our city, not only during this series, but try to make it a habit for all of 2020. Second, I want to call you to action, both prayer and action. Again, verse 7, work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you. Work for it, it says. Do something. Do something. Work. Work for the peace. Work for the prosperity of the city where I sent you. Have a life of action and a life of movement. A life where you're serving and giving and maybe even sacrificially laying down some of your own agenda for the betterment of the city. This is a bizarre thought when you think about it. But it's a thought that comes from God for us. God says, after all, this is the city where I've sent you. This is the city where I've sent you. And I realize the statistical odds of you having a profound spiritual moment like I did, where God gave you a dream and called you to Fort Collins, that's like pretty low probably. Like, not very many of us probably had that dream, but I bet many of you have felt an unction or an urge to be here in Fort Collins or in Northern Colorado. Right? I bet many of you have felt this place to be your home. Truly, in your heart of hearts, at this place, God has you here. And besides, you don't really need a dream to be called by God anyway. You don't need a profound spiritual moment to feel called to a specific area, right? I mean, what if we're called to wherever we're at? Again, sometimes we make this way more complicated than we actually need to make it. What if God has called you to wherever city you're living, and that's your calling? And you're called to that city until he sends you somewhere else, and you'll be called to that city. I mean, it just pretty much plainly says, this is the city I've called you to. Serve it, love it, pray for it, build your home here. This is the city where I've called you, the city where God puts you. And so I think the questions that we can wrestle with is, how can we actively participate in the betterment of our city? How can you take action steps? How can you have a life of movement this year to make our city an even better place to live? How can you couple prayer and action together to see the well-being of our city lifted up? This is an amazing city. I love this city more and more every month I'm here. And I think one of the biggest opportunities, quite honestly, if I'm just surveying this city, is just right down the street at CSU. It's just right down the street at CSU. I mean, there are thousands of people that come to our city every single year. Thousands. That move, uproot themselves and decide to come and land here. And it always baffles my mind. Like, when I hop online and I read news articles or I read opinion articles, and it's always got the comment section below, there's always comments about how people are upset with CSU or it's screwing up the housing and all this. And the traffic, oh my gosh, the traffic, right? I can just, listen, I love being part of a university. I love pastoring in a university town. The amount of influence that is just right here at our fingertips, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And I know housing and those things, they're very complicated issues. And housing is tough in Fort Collins. But I'm not so sure I would trade that for the opportunity that comes with being a university town. We've like surpassed enrollment. We've record-breaking enrollment for however many years in a row at CSU. Where literally thousands of young adults are raising their hand and saying, I'll move to Fort Collins. I'll go there and I'll spend 4, 5, 6 years, maybe even more if they're in graduate school. And then it's the time of year and the time of their life where they're asking all kinds of different questions. What would happen if the church would rise up and say, I'll serve CSU because God loves CSU and God loves the students there. Can you imagine what would take place? Can you imagine what would take place if local churches, not just ours, but local churches from around this area started to love CSU like Jesus loved CSU? I mean, if you ever wanted to have an international ministry, you can have it without ever leaving Fort Collins because there's international students flooding here like crazy. And you can just love them. What would happen if you would love students? They might give their life to Christ. They might get discipled here for 4 or 5 years. They might go back to their country of origin or their city of origin and now share this newfound faith with everyone around them. The ripple effect of living in a university town is profound. There's so much opportunity. Jesus might say, the harvest is ready if we only had workers. You know that scripture. We need to pray to the Lord of harvest to raise up workers then. And we need to be willing to take prayerful steps and action-oriented steps ourselves to serve this beacon of light or what potentially could be a beacon of light in our country. One of the things that I want to invite you to pray about is just a really practical way that I feel like you can serve CSU and serve our city. And if you come to the vision night, you'll hear all kinds of other practical ways you can get plugged in. If you come here, we'll share more and more every week. But one that I want you to try on this morning is I want you to pray about becoming an international friend. That's what CSU calls this program they have. It's called an international friend. And essentially what you do is you fill out a small application. It's an online application. And you basically raise your hand, say to CSU, I want to be an international friend. And what it does is it connects you and your household with one or two international students who are calling Fort Collins home for their bachelor's degree. And you'll invite them into your home. You'll cook them a home-cooked meal maybe once a month. You'll let them use your laundry or do whatever you do to take care of college students. But basically, you're a home away for home from them. There's even some pre-planned excursions that CSU has already organized that you basically just have to show up for. I mean, this is a beautiful, beautiful opportunity for you to get to know young adults in our city. And even more, you'll get to know international students. And as you do life with them, as you're authentic with them, you might authentically share your faith because it's part of who you are. And who knows what could happen at that point? They might decide, like I said, to give their life to Christ, to be transformed by the power and the love of Jesus. And now you investing in them for a short time has radically changed their entire life. And not to mention, it would be a huge bonus for us because I would love to be the most diverse church we can possibly be in Fort Collins. I mean, there's so many ripple effects to just this one small practical step of deciding to be an international friend to our community. So if that's something that's of interest to you, then again, that's going to be on the Next Steps form. You can click that button. It sends me an email. I'll reach out to you with the application form later this week. And you can prayerfully consider about being an international friend here in our community. I think it could be a powerful, powerful thing. But we have all kinds of different opportunities. I want to share just a few more as I have a couple more minutes. One is this Vineyard Adoption Fund. We kicked it off on Christmas Eve. Thank you so much for the way that you gave. This is going to be a powerful ministry, helping families who want to adopt children. Right? It is expensive to do that. And so we created this Vineyard Adoption Fund so that we could help families do that. And you know, I have also learned in the last couple of weeks that there's a Vineyard Church, a sister Vineyard Church in the state of Colorado that has helped families adopt over 200 children. Can you believe that? Isn't that amazing? And of course, two things went through my mind when I heard that number. I thought, wow, what a gift. What a gift to the church. And two, surely we can do 201, right? I know we can do 201. They've got a few years on us. It might take us a while, but we'll get there. Well, I love that ministry. And not only that, but we're gonna be elevating the foster care system and really helping families get plugged into that here in our church. If you wanna be a foster care parent, then we're gonna figure out how we can host classes here, how we can train, go through the process here so that we can elevate that as well. Larimer County has all kinds of kids in foster care. They're looking for godly parents to love them and love them well. And since I'm on a bit of a roll and just kind of dreaming out loud, then if anybody wants to buy the warehouse, just let me know. The warehouse is right next door. I would love to own that. You know, one of the biggest problems in Fort Collins right now is affordable childcare for low-income families. You know, it's an expensive city to live in. And if you are at the poverty line or below the poverty line, it is incredibly, incredibly hard to find daycare for your children so that you can go to work. Basically, you have to choose between working and putting your kid in daycare because it's just a wash. It's so expensive. And the need is increasing. And the city needs people, and I dare I say, organizations and local churches to rise up to the cause. I would love to buy that thing and use it on Sundays. And then during the week, serve a whole bunch of families with low-income childcare. Wouldn't that be an amazing way to reach families in our city? I'm just gonna throw, yeah, you can clap, and then as you're clapping, pray. Can I do, do I have the bandwidth to bite off that chunk? If you do, please let me know, jefffaust@vineyardotr.org. I would love to have that opportunity to serve our city in that kind of way. In the weeks to come, we're gonna have a lot of opportunities. I think the best way for you to stay up to speed on the types of opportunities that we're talking about is to come here on Sunday. On Sunday, we're gonna unpack a few opportunities every week that you can get plugged into to perk your interest. Of course, I would invite you to the Vision Night on January 15th. We're gonna be sharing our 20 ways in 2020 to serve and love your city. Our staff is finalizing a few details, but our 2020 list is 20 ways to love your city this year. And some of them are really easy to step into, and some of them are a lot more time intensive, but we're gonna provide an opportunity for you to sign up for all of those. And then I would invite you in the coming days to log on to FOCO or lovefoco.com. This is a website that we're creating specifically designed to help us love our city. And it's gonna start here, but it's eventually going to ripple out, I think, to the rest of the city. And we're gonna provide all kinds of different ways, all kinds of different events you can get plugged into. It's not launched quite yet because there's a whole bunch of stuff that I have to write in order to get it ready, but we are on track to having it open and ready for you next week. So stay tuned on that as well. I'm excited. I'm excited about what the year holds for us. I'm excited about what God is doing in our church and in our midst. I'm excited that he's gonna be mobilizing people all year long to love and serve our city. When you hire a former missionary as a lead pastor, this is the kind of stuff that you're gonna get, okay? It's just exciting to join God in his mission to transform all things. There's something about the way you were created. There's something that God has placed in your heart that not only receives his love and not only has this loving relationship with him, but also compels us to go and advance the kingdom in the world around us. It's both and. And like I said, this series will help chart the course. This series will help lead the way as we press into 2020 in partnering with God in the transformation of all things. So let me close with this as I've already mentioned, I just wanna restate it. I truly believe biblically that as we read scripture, not only does God's story start in a garden and end with a city, but the condition of our city is a reflection of the condition of our local church. That as we as a local church rise up and do the things that God has called us to do, it will absolutely impact this city. And as we impact this city, it will impact lives and it will impact other cities and it will grow beyond what we can ask or imagine. God is committed to transforming you. He's absolutely committed to transforming your family, but God is also committed to transforming this city. Absolutely committed to transforming this city. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.